Interview with the Podcast Vampire is a retrospective on the filmography of living legend Tom Cruise, hosted by Dale underscore A, Jonesy Loves Beer, and Slim.
Interview with the Vampire 1994, Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, Kirsten Dunst. We're back.
You forgot maybe the most important cast member, Antonio Banderas.
In probably his sexiest role.
I mean,
next to the Desperado films.
At his effeminate peak.
Sexiest vampiric role.
I mean, silk.
That's for sure.
Dress vests. At any given time.
Jonesy loves beer. You just heard the expert writer. He's back. You're listening to a movie podcast, the retrospective film podcast. You want to hear from the best. We got the best. Jonesy loves beer writer, welcome back.
Thank you. I've recently written some Slack posts about Joe Walsh's classic Rocky Mountain High.
Couldn't you mean Rocky Mountain Way?
Yeah, no, Rocky Mountain High. I'll have you know. Don't edit me live on air. I can't be contained. I'm rambunctious. Dale currently wearing my sweatpants and farting so heavily the threads are blowing out on my couch.
Blown out threads. This is, as you heard from the writer, this is the retrospective film podcast that's scanning the airwaves. And we have the VP of merch for the Papercake Radio Syndicate. We got him out of his office. He's on a jet. He jetted over here from Carolina.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Dale.
Our namesake, the reason this podcast is named what it is, I couldn't not do this in person. Yeah. You know, we really started, workshopping, storyboarding how we were all going to get in this same room tonight. And here it is. Here we are.
Yeah.
Interview with the Vampire, colon, The Vampire Chronicles. Nobody ever knew it was called that.
I had no idea.
Nobody. Yeah.
That was there.
When I fired up Amazon Prime and saw The Vampire Chronicles, I was pretty sure I was going to watch the wrong movie.
Yeah. Are we watching a series?
Is this some documentary about the making of?
Is this like the Friday the 13th of the series that didn't feature Jason at all?
Can I be frank? This is the big episode. It's all been leading to this.
Absolutely.
And there's going to be plenty more after this, but it's all been leading to this. Interview with the Vampire. First time I've ever seen this movie. Ever.
Let me ask you a more important question. What were the throwaway titles for this podcast? Because I feel like we workshopped like 10 titles.
That's a good question. I don't even remember. I think Cruisin' maybe was one of them.
I don't feel that it was.
I think Cruisin' was. Remember the movie Cruisin' that Al Pacino plays like a gay man in the 70s, like cruising for love to try to catch a serial killer?
Yeah, that's right.
So maybe that's why we didn't go that route.
Maybe.
But they want to compare the two.
We're saving that for our Al Pacino podcast.
Was Jerry Podguire one of them?
Which Cruisin' will still not be the name of the podcast, but we're workshopping that.
Oh my God. Interview with the Podcast Vampire 2, Al Pacino.
Al Pacino movies.
Have you guys seen this movie before? We watched it for this podcast?
I had seen it once a long time ago, and then, now watching it for the first time as an adult.
Did you, so we've talked immensely about my, my de-scrambler usage as a, yeah. So this was like prime de-scrambler times, but I've never sat down to watch it wire to wire, as they say at the Derby. So this is my first time.
Jonesy, what's the plot of this film, if you can break it down before we get into the nitty-gritty wire to wire?
I mean, put on a tea kettle.
Yeah.
Because this plot is convoluted. In the present, Pondulok is a plantation owner. His wife and child died many years ago, but now in modern day Nolans, he is a vampire telling Christian Slater as a rambunctious reporter his life story. Flashback to Nolans in the 1700s, 1800s, where he goes off the deep end, is about to get killed by a pimp, but instead gets saved by Tom Cruise, the vampire Lestat. And the movie follows some 200 years of vampiric debauchery, where they make Kirsten Dunst so they can have a child together, and her tragic tale. And then we resume the story in the present, where, surprise, Lestat is still alive? Interview with the Vampire Chronicles.
What's Christian Slater up to these days? Is he still alive? I don't hear that name anymore.
Yeah, that's a great question, because like, this is maybe one of his, what, last movies?
Yeah, maybe, because then he'd had that TV show, didn't he, for a little while?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Mr. Robot.
He was in that? I didn't know that.
He was in Mr. at least season one.
I thought like a weird Spin City type show or some courtroom drama he was in.
You might be right about that, too.
JAG.
Charles Lee Ray.
I feel like Cuffs was a big movie for him.
Oh, my God. Cuffs is a great
movie. Gleaming the Cube.
Hugs and kisses on all the pink parts. that's the only line I remember from the movie Cuffs.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, that was huge. Got the arrow through his hand.
As Will Scarlet. But very a True Romance, of course. Recently, Mr. Robot.
Had no idea.
He played HP, The Wolf True Alpha, was a movie he just made.
Good.
What?
He was in The Public.
Oh.
With the Public Library movie.
Oh, wow. With his Emilio. Buddy Emilio.
Who we'll talk about next movie.
He was in a B movie called The Summit. Apparently, he plays Deadshot in the Justice League universe, animated.
Wow. He's making moves.
And before that...
Let's keep going.
He does a lot of voiceover work nowadays. Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
What's the TV show that I'm thinking of? Like courtroom drama that he's in?
Mind Games.
Boston Legal.
I typed in Crust, C-H-R-U-S-T, Christian Slater first suggested.
Oh, my God.
Result.
Too...
My God, he looks amazing. He's ageless. I mean, he's aged well. I should correct myself.
Especially if he gets to be a vampire.
Oh, he had a title role in Mr. Robot? I didn't know he was like a big fish in that show. I thought Mr. Robot was Raimi? Is it Rami? Rami? Malik? Malik. I'm going to cut that out.
He plays Moses in 2007's The Ten Commandments.
All right, we got to move. We've talked about Christian Slater for 7 minutes.
Hollow Man 2.
Okay. Lestat.
The vamp.
First thing.
2005's Alone in the Dark, the only movie I've ever walked out of. For spoilers.
I walked out of Chronicles of Riddick, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't blame you. Not a good movie.
Lestat. Can I just say my first note, my copious.
2002's Wind Talkers.
My copious notes, Brad Pitt's voice, his accent is trash. Whatever it is.
You're right. New Orleans. I went back to New Orleans.
Who on earth told him to pronounce New Orleans that way?
That's not how the New Orleans.
They should be fired and maybe kicked a few times.
Yeah, obviously the accents. Yes, Brad One Pitt's.
2001's 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Viva
Slim and I saw Vegas. That in the theater. The opening sequence is two CGI scorpions fighting. And we both thought we were in the wrong movie.
We thought we were in the theater for Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
We did.
I think it was we out absolutely that did same
think
weekend.
We were in the wrong theater.
It's a cult movie in our years of friendship.
I mean, I just don't know what they were going for with Brad Pitt's. I've liked Brad Pitt as an
Love
actor,
him.
But he's doing something different in this movie. And I think it's to capture, you know, a certain vibe, a certain
actor.
A certain audience. I think he's like not pandering, but I think the movie was made for a certain audience. Like, I don't know, like a Reality Bites, like,
was
you know,
big
Gothic
movie?
Vampires was, I think it was big, or for certain crowds, it was big.
Was
and
this like the beginning of like the everything has to be a vampire phase that we went through?
I don't think so.
In pop culture. Like, was it this movie, Buffy, Angel, other vampire things?
Yeah, it might have been. I mean, it might have been. This was certainly maybe a beginning of it, but it also played to, like, I hate to generalize, but I think it was made for, like, you know, maybe a certain crowd that were into, you know, the pretty boy vampires with the, like, overt, like, sexual undertones.
Yeah, that was definitely it. I remember being high school, like, a subculture.
Yeah.
Like, the kids wore the white, pale makeup and, like, the black eyeshadow, boys and girls.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, like, it was definitely a... And I apologize because, you know, now I'm a 36 white guy square, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I definitely felt that was, like, a sex thing. Like, it was definitely, like, part of their coming of age.
Yeah.
I have to be different than the crowd scenario.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine that person that's still doing that at our age, like a CPA going home, putting on ruffle shirts and, you know, cutting. You know what I mean? I don't know if that happens.
Right. But yeah. Anyway, Brad Pitt, Louis's accent. And I mean, to maybe even to more severe degree.
Yeah. Say it.
Lestat's French accent.
With his, like, fang. Did he have fangs in his mouth the entire film? Every,
it
like,
felt like it.
Everything he said sounded like there was something in his mouth.
Absolutely right.
Louis. Chérie. Like, it was so severe. Listen to him say, chérie.
Yeah. There was the one thing that has always made me curious is what makes someone turn into a vampire outside of just dying after they get bit? Like, what is the transition period that's different? And I was like, oh, I hope this movie answers that. And they do. Like, they have to suckle from the vampire blood.
Right, yes.
And then they become a vampire themselves as they're dying.
Yeah.
So that solved my one gripe.
And how about the gripe that you gotta sleep in a coffin?
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah,
like, I love to look across this. I thought it was always just sunlight and stakes. But I never knew you had to sleep in a coffin. Is that
a thing?
I guess
the coffin is just an easy way to say we need to be surrounded by darkness.
I guess no light can get in.
Right? But then how do you know when it's time to wake up? You're like, you got to look out. Is there any light out here? I guess not. It's time to wake up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Also, Brad Pitt has a miserable life. His family's dead. What would make him want to be living forever?
Yes, exactly.
You hate your life, bro.
Right. So now you're going to live it forever. And
idiot.
Right. The thing is, you're under the impression that he was given a choice, but he never really decided that he wanted this life. He barely got, like, he said yes when Lestat offered to say, like, not completely finish him off.
Right.
The first time when he sucked him dry. But then, like, when they're in the graveyard and he's looking at his wife's mausoleum, he wasn't even given the option at that point. It just happened. And cut to him immediately being pissed off that he's a vampire. He didn't even enjoy it for one second.
He was so just curmudgeonly about the whole thing.
He hated it.
Yeah. I was chuckling. I apologize because I'm going through my notes. My second line, where New Orleans is my third line, and I have it like phonetically written. The second line I have, I got a bag full of tape. That's Christian Slater saying he, like, don't worry about this. I got a bag full of tape to record our conversation. Like, oh my God. It's so outdated. It wasn't even that long ago. My fourth one is, what is it about getting your blood drained that makes you orgasm? Because when they're getting bit, they are just losing it.
Like the third scene, there was like a countess or something, and she gets bit, and she is immediately like, she was strumming the guitar the whole time.
Chelsea just winked at me. I'm extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The old slapping the bass.
Yeah, she was slapping the bass. I mean, anytime someone's getting just murdered, instant gasm.
Yeah.
On screen.
Yeah. And they get, I mean, I don't know how like bandwidth works and, you know, openings, but they could suck a human dry 6 quarts in like 5 seconds. Yeah. I mean, they're done. God. I don't get it.
I think it's some kind of tubules in the teeth.
Tubule, yeah.
Tubules. Tubules. And then just like...
Dock. They immediately dock.
The blood through some kind of high-speed injection system. Mm-hmm. Like electronic fuel injection of blood.
Blood fuel injection.
BFI, they call it.
What about the one scene where... Well, first of all, Brad Pitt hates... let's get back to Brad Pitt hate being a vampire.
Immediately.
He hates drinking blood. He refuses to kill people. What do you think your job is as a vampire? You're going to have to just drink warm blood. And another thing I didn't realize is that they can't drink the blood of someone or something that's been like dead already for hours.
Yeah,
it's like poison to them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I thought that was interesting.
I like that, yeah.
So Brad Pitt is essentially just like killing rats and putting his tubules in their butts and just drinking rats' blood.
Mm-hmm.
And Lestat is like making fun of him. They have a terrible relationship.
Yeah,
why are you hanging around with Lestat?
They are bosom buddies, man. They are together.
They're already an old married couple.
Yeah.
6 minutes into the relationship.
I feel terrible that they have to live with each other for decades, centuries even.
I know. What is, like, Lestat, the biggest bully of them all, he just ditch him. Mm-hmm. If it's...
Get rid of him.
He loves the fact that he can, like, make Louis miserable.
In New Orleans. God, get out of here, Brad. So Brad Pitt, there's this one cool scene where there was the plague was running through this town, and Brad Pitt, off one of his walkabouts, being miserable, he like walks face first into the plague, which I thought was a cool idea to, I guess, drink blood, I thought, but then later you find out that they're not really supposed to. So he comes upon this young girl who's with her mother, who's dead, and you kind of feel bad, and it's Kirsten Dunst. And does Lestat bite her, or does Brad Pitt bites her first?
Yeah, Brad Pitt bites her.
Did he bite her to save her initially, or do you think that was just like a dinner for him?
I think my opinion, so don't blast me on social media. I feel like he was putting her out of her misery.
Mm.
He was like doing her a favor.
Yeah.
And then Lestat twisted that.
Yeah.
And then made her a vampire to like torture him even further.
The scene, I think before that, I have another note. Did he eat her breast? Do you remember the one scene where they brought the two women to the house and he's just like gnawing on her chest and starts bleeding?
Yeah.
And then she doesn't even realize it. This is when she loses it. She's strumming the bass.
Yeah.
And she like looks down and starts freaking out that her body has been like bitten and mutilated.
Right.
What? Yeah. Wake up. You didn't feel that?
Yeah, how does it not? Yeah, I mean, it must feel like anything.
I want to get bit by a vampire. Just to feel it.
It's got
to
feel amazing.
It looks like it notice. Feels fantastic.
But then, like, after you're, like, kind of dead, so.
Yeah, you're right. But still, I have to find out. Kirsten Dunst gets brought back. Lestat turns her into a vampire by letting her suckle from the tubules of his blood.
Right, his wrist tubes.
Wrist tubes. And she starts sucking hard. And he's like, let go. That's enough. Right. And then she becomes a vampire. Her hair grows curly. What's that about?
Yeah, what's up with the fact that she cuts her hair, and like 6 seconds later, it's regrown?
Remember that Lestat scene? Alluded to having dark powers, and he can read minds. So I wonder if one of his powers is he can make a victim into something that he desires, or like a vision that he has for the person that can't be changed.
There's some throwaway comment where, like, as we get older, we develop like a subset of powers. Like, we can all kind of live forever, we're strong, whatever. But then as we get older, like, Lestat can read minds. Mm. And then maybe, you know, Louis has some other set of powers that'll grow.
Being miserable. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like he had that power from day one.
Right.
Yeah. Worse. What does that power?
It got
like
worse.
Like 200 years later,
more annoying.
Like the mother from Golden Girls.
I can't Estelle believe you Getty. Didn't know her name.
Estelle Getty levels of being curmudgeon.
There was one scene that I actually really enjoyed. It's when years pass, And Kirsten Dunst is the psychopath, child killer.
Yeah.
And Lestat gives her a doll on this on a date. And Kirsten Dunst is like, why do you give me this stupid gift on this date every year?
Right.
And Lestat is like sad. He like is shunned by her anger about giving this doll. And you like kind of get a short window and it's like it disappears as quickly as it came of like Lestat having this dream of having, I guess, like a child.
Or a family or something.
A family of some kind, even though he's just a dirtball bully.
Yeah.
And she throws it back in his face and he's like so pissed. And just like that, this moment, this moment into Lestat's heart is like closed up again. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And you could really see it visually on his face, like how this is, you know, he's like, basically you could see that this is about to go someplace he wasn't in the mood for it to go, like someplace deep. And mm-hmm. he, like, the illusion is ruined and she's not naive. She's not going to be naive as of this moment.
Now, I do have a question. About, because we're about to get to their transition to Paris. When they load up Lestat with laudanum and kind of leave him to die, I know they slit his throat in Paris. I can't remember.
Was it laudanum or was it just old blood?
I think it was a little bit of both.
Okay.
Or maybe she used laudanum to poison him.
Hmm.
So the blood was dead and poisoned.
Yeah, the blood.
He recovers and falls into Paris, but what I don't get is Louis finds him in modern day Louisiana, look like he hasn't fed in like the 200 years since Paris. Like, how does he get back to
better looking?
Well, no. Like, how does he get back to New Orleans? How is he in their house? Like,
right.
Did I miss that?
Has he been lit? No, they don't explain that, but like, I had the same question. Like, what are the chances he's there? Has he been living there for hundreds of years waiting
like
for
not
this
eating?
Moment?
Just kind of like wasting away?
Why does he look better? Like, right, why didn't he look better when he met up with them before?
Yeah, so in the climax of the film, Christian Slater gets in his 65 Mustang convertible. Mm-hmm. Beautiful car. Mm-hmm. And Lestat, like, flies into the back, ready to make Christian Slater into new Louis. But Lestat's, like, restored, completely restored. Like, he looks good. Like, he's just been feeding. Like, I feel like that should have been explained because it made no sense to me when it happened.
My guess is when he feeds, it restores his youthful looks.
Rejuvenates him.
But
that was my impression.
By that same version, why didn't he just, like, he didn't really need to look old and crappy and burned up. He could have just ate someone and looked fine. Like, what was he? Because remember, he's like, I look terrible, Louis. Like, don't look at me. Or he's like playing piano. He's like all decrepit.
Yeah, he has like the sheet over his face.
Right. If you could easily just heal again, like, who cares how crappy you look right now? Just go eat someone.
Right. Because like maybe, what is it? A couple days, a week since he got thrown in the swamp to, mm-hmm. like, he's got no care for human life. He could have easily on his way over sucked the blood of three people.
Yeah.
Well, you got to think he's been on a steamship for 3 months crossing the Atlantic. I would figure every person on that steamship would be dead mm-hmm. by the time they made port, mm-hmm. you know, in France, right?
Yeah, he never left the States, though.
Doesn't he chase them to Paris? Or did I misread that whole
Maybe
scene?
Maybe that was New Orleans. No,
yeah, that was New Orleans.
Oh, that was still New Orleans? Yeah,
he burns it to death in New Orleans.
Oh,
still.
That's right. That's right, because the second conversation, they slit his throat and then flee. Yeah. Right, yeah, got it.
But how about the, it seems that way in editing, but it can't be true, but like this one tract of land in a huge city in Louisiana just untouched for 200 years.
Yeah, no one's buying it.
It was right, it was right next to a highway, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, like, there's like helicopters shining
light. What was the helicopter doing? The helicopter goes to the old house, shines a light directly on Lestat and Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And then they just leave.
Like, I don't know if that was a practical effect, but that helicopter was 15 feet away from the house.
And Brad Pitt's like, oh, don't worry, that's artificial light. Yeah. What? Tom has never seen artificial light in 200 years?
Right, he's been sitting in
there. There's no light bulbs. Yeah.
Like, I mean, what?
His clothes haven't wasted off of him in 200 years. They haven't been eaten by moths or.
He's done no education in 200 years of modern day technology. Get out of my face, you moron.
But knows to fly in the back of a car.
Yeah, exactly. Right, he knows how to drive a car.
Yeah.
How do, he hasn't. Get out of here.
He's like, it's like the secret bottle. Of NIMH. Just as long as nobody. Just as long as his one block, city block in Louisiana, in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Isn't touched for the 200 years. He's fine. Mm-hmm. Nobody messes with him. But yeah, yeah. It was that was a little
dicey.
Dicey is a good word.
A little dicey. So we skipped over the underground vampire club that Antonio is a part of, runs.
Yeah. So I was curious about the relationship there because Antonio is obviously the leader, right?
That's what I thought.
So does he orchestrate Kirsten's death so he can have Loyal to himself?
It didn't sound that way.
I know.
So in the movie, Kirsten kills Lestat, Brad and her are on the run, and then this underground vampire group finds out and says that, like, we have one rule. You can't kill a vampire, so you got to pay the price. So they kidnap both of them and put Kirsten in a hole, which sunlight is going to hit. Also, how about that weird mother
that she makes for her? I thought that was kind of great, though.
It just felt like kind of out of nowhere.
Kirsten's so psychotic. She was like, you need to make me a mother. Mm-hmm. That was a great moment between her and Louis.
Right.
So you owe me this. I can never be real.
Mm-hmm. But Antonio essentially says, like, it's out of my hands. My crew is going to do whatever they want. Like, couldn't you just stop it? And then they do that. But then Antonio goes to rescue Brad from this this coffin that he was in.
Why? Yeah, they bring him alive.
Why didn't Antonio's crew stop him from doing that? They just watched.
Is it like
that made me think that he was behind it? That he tried to make himself look like the hero,
Like he wanted Claire Danes out of the way or Kirsten Dunst. Whoops, same person. Wanted Kirsten out of the way so that he could have Louis to himself. So
maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can only picture the, like, convincing session that he's got to convince the whole coven that he needs to let Louis out of the coffin, but, because two other people have already paid for, you know, the person who did the killing, which is, I mean, I know this upside down vampire can read thoughts, but this is all based on hearsay. I think this whole third act is like a deleted scene that still made it into the movie. I mean, it's just like you read the thoughts of a vampire that they killed another vampire. Well, if they don't know the rules on how to be a vampire, how can you still hold them to?
And there's zero proof.
There's zero proof.
There's zero proof because not only is there zero proof, Lestat's alive.
Yes,
like he's alive. The whole thing is based on nothing.
Well, so there's a line also where Antonio says, "I'm 400 years old, and as far as I know, I'm the oldest vampire alive." And they might be the only coven of vampires in Paris. Like, aren't there like 60 books by Anne Rice about like the vampire underworld? Like, where did we get to the point where that's only the 10 of them?
Yeah. and they're all psychopaths.
Yeah, they're all
Antonio Banderas.
Insane. I kind of thought there was a missed opportunity to kind of set up the next movie or whatever.
Well, there were books. I just was on the wiki earlier and it's like Queen of the Damned
with Aaliyah
is one of the books, which I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I wikied.
No clue.
Yeah. It's, exactly. So I thought the whole third act with that whole coven, a little loosey-goosey. And plus, I mean, he let...
Antonio was a vision, though.
Antonio, look, we're just looking, man. Everybody's lion mane unconditioned hair in this movie. It needs a serious relook. Is it okay to have this greasy hair the Rocky Mountain way?
Also, no other human being has hair in this time frame like that. Like, you're going to attract attention.
It's disgusting.
Everybody has like this short hair cut off by the edge of a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And you got this long, flowy hair.
Yeah.
And like a George Washington ponytail. Right. And everybody's like, yeah, this is normal.
How about when Brad Pitt is freed, he immediately starts to just like pour gasoline everywhere to close out that drama that he was a part of, but nobody thought that once he was freed, he was going to do that. Like, Antonio frees Brad Pitt.
They all go to
bed. All just murder. Yeah, we all just murdered Kirsten Dunst. All right, Brad, we'll see you later. We're going to go to bed. I hope you, get over
someone
this.
Someone was like, yeah, I think he learned his lesson.
What do you think, guys? You think he's going to do anything to us while we're sleeping? Right, no? Yeah. Okay, let's go to sleep. Burns them all alive.
Yeah. So they're just double checking with Antonio. So you're going to let him out, right? We're going to go to bed. We agree you can let him out because the other two are dead.
And, okay. And he's not going to do anything, right? Okay, cool.
He's not going to kill us. He's not going to burn us alive. And
because just a reminder, we're powerless in our coffins. We can't do or right, hear exactly. anything or see anything.
He loved that little girl. Just so we're clear.
The original plan was to keep him burned alive forever. Yeah. I mean, that's what
it's
we agreed to.
It's been 12 hours.
And it's been about 40 minutes. Right, yeah. So he could still be pretty butthurt about the whole thing. But if you think it's okay,
you're
we'll
the
just
leader.
All take
you're
a
the
nap.
Oldest, you're the oldest boy. Living vampire. It's fine.
Did we'll Antonio die in that? I can't even remember what happened to Antonio with that scene.
I think he stayed behind in the burning theater, right?
No, he just remember. Like... It's this is why it's a dumb deleted scene. It's he's I had to wiki it and basically like take it because I couldn't understand their dialogue to one another. But Antonio offers Louis that, you know, they can be companions now and
lovers.
Like kiss almost kiss each other every hour. But Louis basically like this whole time you were okay with them killing Kirsten Dunst, and I will never be able to forget that, so I can't be your friend. So thank you for being in this movie. But that's it. Like,
yeah. Just very
also,
strange.
I will say, and this is probably because
this
2019.
This was his only chance to meet another vampire and possibly learn something.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want any, you need him on that wall, right? Like, this is...
You want him on that wall.
Yeah. You want him on that wall. I mean, being a vampire is no clean... It's like a dirty job. But now you are one, so, you know, I know, like, if you can't beat him kind of thing...
I mean, how depressing is it to realize there is no normal vampire out there? Everyone is a psychopath freak.
Yeah, I know, right?
Except for me, pretty much.
The one thing I thought... Well, this is 2019, and this movie came out in the 90s, so maybe it's because so much time has passed. I would have been more fine with them being openly gay than this, like, beat-you-over-the-head euphemism.
Yeah.
With, like, they're gay, but we have to call them vampires. Like, who cares?
At the time, that probably would have been, like, the craziest shit to
probably, like, totally taboo
mainstream
back
film.
Then.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought the CGI in this movie was, like, really good.
It was.
Like, the scene where Tom was, like, dying...
Yeah.
I thought it was like, whoa, this is pretty good for the time.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I liked it. I just had something on the tip of my tongue.
Closing thoughts.
Regarding this movie.
What was the song they played at the end of the movie? That Tom was listening to?
Yeah.
Oh.
Guns N' Roses was a...
Yeah, something weird.
Pleased to meet you. Yeah, no, it was a cover of the
Rolling
Stones.
Couldn't even get the rights to, like, come on. Why would you even still just stick with that song if you can't get the rights to the real version? Like, let's go to what's our plan B? Because it can't be a cover of this song.
And they did. They covered it, and it was terrible.
Yeah. Bad.
Crazy movie.
Crazy movie. Another one in the books. Interview with the Vampire.
I mean, upon seeing this movie, we should have picked another title for this podcast.
Oh, yeah, several people wondering why.
Also, no Gary Oldman in this movie. No Gary Oldman as a vampire in this vampire movie.
That would have saved
other vampire movie.
That would have saved this film, I thought.
Because more Gary.
I kept getting my vampire movies mixed up. I know, you know.
Keep wondering where Keanu Reeves is.
Oldman Dracul, that movie.
Dracul.
I kept waiting for Gary Oldman with the John Lennon shades to show up because that was like the same time period.
Oh, yeah.
But that's, I guess,
him, Lennon, Oldman would have been a perfect
Bram Stoker's.
Point. Yeah.
Right.
To, that's next what's week. That?
It's our Gary Oldman podcast. Yeah. Next episode is
Pod
going
Stoker's
to be
Dracula.
That's not bad. Next episode, Mission Impossible 1.
Oh my God, yes.
Brian De Palma.
The birthing of a lot of people's Tom fandom.
My God, it's the big one.
It Indeed. Was for me. I'll tell you what.
In
this movie made me fall in love with Thomas J. Cruise.
Tune in next week where we verify that that's his middle initial and we talk about Mission Impossible.
Don't Google that.
So we usually, I just thought this little bit of a podcast vampire trivia.
Hmm.
Christian Slater was not the original person intended for the role. River Phoenix was intended to be Christian Slater's role. He died 4 weeks before they started filming.
But did he die during Last Crusade? Or was it after?
I think it was after.
No, because it maybe the thing called love he died during.
And Christian Slater donated his entire salary to the River Phoenix.
Wow. Estate.
Yeah, estate.
Good guy, well, Christian Slater.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Good for him.
So do you think he brings Christian Slater back, Lestat?
Yeah, I think probably that was the sequel setting up.
I thought
modern day Lestat with Christian Slater.
It was very on the nose, but it was like the whole crux of the movie was like Louis just trying to reach somebody and get him to understand his pain, and everybody just wants to be a vampire with him.
Right.
Like, I thought it was very on the nose, but it was very like fitting for like, you're not listening just like everybody else is not listening.
Mm.
Anyway, that was my afterthought.
It's a good afterthought.
Yeah. Good point.
Thanks boyos. See you next month.
Next month, Thomas J.
You've never seen me upset.
Kittredge.